Today, Shem Satachul and Daf Tzadik Tes, we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous year, the Gemara had identified that the source for the halacha, that the sheer bittel, that the ratio for bittel is 100, is either 60 to 1 or 100 to 1. The Gemara said we learned it from the halacha of Zeruya B'Sheila, that when a Nazir completes his term of Naziris, he has to bring a carbon shlomim, which is an ayil, and the halacha tells us that he should, the zroya, the forearm, goes to the kohen, and the rest is eaten as a carbon shlomim by the owner of the carbon. And after the Gemara explained, the ratio of the animal to the zroya, depending on how we calculate that ratio, might be either 60 to 1 or 100 to 1. And that becomes the source for the halacha of shear bittel. What is the shear to be mevatel? But the Gemara asked, how can we learn from that halacha? There's a brisa that says, Zeh heter abob mechlal iser, which seems to indicate that specifically in this case that we just identified of Zeruya B'Sheila, we could cook the zroya together with the rest of the carbon, and we could rely on the shear bittel, seemingly indicating that that would not be permissible in any other situation. And therefore, the Gemara asked, how could we learn from there to other areas of halacha? So the Gemara began a discussion, what really was meant when the Braisa said the word zeh heta ba mechal iser. And the Gemara at the beginning said, what it presumably means is that here this would be acceptable, nowhere else. But Rava says that the Braisa is really, that statement is not here to tell us that the halacha is this way only here, nowhere else. Rather, it's here to teach us the halacha of tam ki'ikar, that if we only have the taste of something that's usur, it's treated like actual isser, even though you don't have actual isser in the taruvus. And we're learning with this braisa, the bekotchim usur, that normally by kotchim that's the halacha, and since that's the halacha by kotchim, the taste of kotchim, and Gemara is going to bring a pasuk to this soon, that's where it is that way. Tan is coming to teach us that it's mutter and we don't have to worry about tam kicker, and we don't learn from there. And what the Braisa means to tell us that this is not a source for other places that we don't say tam kicker. Only by the Zeruya B'Sheila do we say that the tam of the Zeruya does not affect the carbon shlomim. Everywhere else, we will say by kotchim tam kicker. But regarding chulin, we don't say midaraisa, tam kicker midaraisa. And therefore, we can learn from Zeruya B'Sheila to other areas of halacha that the shear bittel, as we started, is either 60 to 1 or 100 to 1. So Rashi says that indeed the halacha, Rashi Devar Maska Tam Kikr, that indeed the halacha of Tam Kikr is not the Raisa. And therefore he says that even in a case where it's not just that you only have Tam, you just have, for example, a Blia, would we have room to be lenient? But even where we have actual Isser, but the actual Isser dissolved into the Heter, and we have the proper shear bittel, the halacha of tam kicker would apply, and we could tam kicker is not the raisa, and with the raisa it's not a problem. The Rambam's opinion is that where there's a case of kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, that halacha is that we'll say tam kicker midaraisa. But if you didn't eat the entire pras, or you didn't have a shear of tam kicker b'tei achilas pras, indeed we could be lenient. The opinion of the Ravid and the Rashba is even if you take out the Isser, and even if you don't have a Kazayas B'chdei Echel Pras, the halacha is that we paskin the Tam Ki'ikr is Daraisa. The Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen differentiates in the case that we spoke about a few moments ago. If you have the actual Isser, even though it dissolved, then we'll have to be Machmer. But if you don't have actual Isser, you only have Tam, the Blias, for example, there we could be lenient. The Rabbeinu Tam opinion is that Tam Ki'ikr is a Daraisa. And what that means to say, when he says that Tam Kik is Daraisa, it's a full-fledged Daraisa. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, and that's what we're Machmer for, when we have a case of Tam Kikr, it's not bottled B'shishim, and even if it was just a Tam, it's no difference if we had real Isser, and it would be considered the same as we had Isser that fell into Heter, and you don't have the proper ratio of Bittel. But ask the Gemara, the Ligma Minei, why don't we learn from Tam Ki'ikr, asked the Gemara, to all other cases, why don't we learn from Zroi B'Shela to all other cases of Kachim that we do not say Tam Ki'ikr? And just like by the Zroi B'Shela we've been learning in our Shurim, we're not concerned about Tam Ki'ikr. Here too, we should not be concerned. Answers the Gemara, Gola Rachmana Gabachatis. The Torah, when it speaks of God, the Kar Mechatis says, Kol HaShi'igah V'Besorah Yigdash, that any food or carbon that comes in contact with Chatis Liyas Kamayu, it gets the same status as what it touched, meaning Shem Psula, let's say meat or another carbon even, came in contact with a Kar Mechatis, which is Pasul, Tipasul. It too, because it absorbed Tam from the Kar Mechatis, will be Pasul. And if it's kshera, if the kar mechatis that it touched it was kosher, then ta'achal kacham shabah. It has all of the chumris of a kar mechatis. We know a kar mechatis may only be eaten by kohanim. A kar mechatis can only be eaten liyoyim v'layla. So what that means, as Rashi explains, that of carbon chatis, the carbon shlomim touched the kar mechatis, even though carbon shlomim is more lenient in halacha than a kar mechatis. The halacha is that a carbon shlomim could be eaten for 2 days and one night. The halacha is that a carbon shlomim isn't eaten only in the azara. The carbon shlomim is not only eaten by kahanim. Various leniencies that apply by the carbon shlomim that don't apply by the carbon chattis. But since it absorbed from the carbon chattis, the halacha is that it has a din like a carbon chattis. However, Tosfos and other Rishonim point out that it could go the other way as well. We know, as we just said, a carbon shlomim is nechel l'shnei yom v'layla echad. It's eaten for 2 days and one night. Carbon chattis is only eaten l'yom v'layla day and a night. So let's say today is the second day of the carbon shlomim that I brought. But it's the day that I brought the carbon chattis. So if we think about it, the carbon chattis could be eaten today and tonight. The carbon shlomim, because today is already the second day of the carbon shlomim, so it can only be eaten till tonight, not through tonight. So here, where the carbon shlomim and the carbon chattis touched each other, and we say that when they touch each other, they absorb from each other. So this will represent a case where the shlomim puts a stringency on the chattis, and that this carbon chattis will not be eaten through tonight. The carbon chattis will only be able to eat until tonight because it's only up to tonight that this carbon shlomim may be eaten. So now we see that by kachim we do have the halacha of tam kicker based on the pasuk that we just learned. But ask the Gemara, or my chazus, the Gemini Mahaich, Ligma Mahai. So, why do we learn from the case of Chattis that by Kotchim we say Tam Ki'ikr? Why don't we learn from Zroi B'Shela that we don't say Tam Ki'ikr by Kotchim? And again, the Rishonim ask that we have a rule throughout Shas that when we can be Makish Lakula or Lachumra, when we can learn a chumra kula, we always learn a chumra. So yes, we can learn from Zerai B'Sheila that we don't say tam kikr. Or we can learn from this pasuk of Chattis that we do say tam kikr. So why ask the Rishonim? Why would we even think, and why would the Gemara ask that it's preferable to learn from Zerai B'Sheila? So the Rishonim answer, there's another concept that we can learn from that pasuk of Chattis. And that's the concept of Hetem Mitzdaref L'Isser. And maybe the Gemara's question is, use that pasuk by Chattis to teach us the concept of Hetem Mitzdaref L'Isser, and from the pasuk by Zerai B'Sheila, we learn that we don't say Tam Ki'ikr by Kachim. Answers the Gemara, the whole din of Kachim is a Chiddushu. Because, as we said in our previous year, to go cook together foods that should not be cooked together, as we're learning, the Zroya is only eaten by the Kohanim. The rest of the carbon is eaten by everybody. And L'chatchila, to cook something like that together is inappropriate, is not allowed. And therefore, says the Gemara, Mechidish Lagerminen, we can't use Zroya B'Sheila as a model to learn other halachas. Ask the Gemara, if that's the approach you're going to take, we began learning about Zroya B'Sheila to teach us the number, the ratio of bittel. But if we're saying Zroya B'Sheila represents a chiddush, Yachla Meya V'Shishim Nami Loi Ligmar, so then we shouldn't be able to learn the halacha of Shishim or Meya from Zroya B'Sheila either. Answers the Gemara, when we're saying that we should learn from Zroya B'Sheila because it's a chiddush, it's only when we want to learn a kula. But we're actually using that to teach us a chumra. Ota anan l'kula gamrinin. Are we using Zroya B'Sheila to teach us a kula? Actually, l'chumra gamrinin. It's being used to teach us a chumra. Because mederaisa, as we said, the halacha always is, achir rabim l'hatas, we should rely on a roiv. And from Zroya B'Sheila we learn that roiv is not enough. You need 60 or 100. Ravina amam. And again, Ravina comes back to discuss what we began our shiur with. We began our shiur with a discussion how to understand the words of the Braisa describing the din of Zroya B'Sheila as Zeu het abo mechlal iser. What does that mean to teach us? Says Gemara, Ravina lo yitzcha el makim chatach. The Braisa is coming to teach us that we don't learn from Zroya B'Sheila the halacha of the spat where it was cut. Domar, the Gemara says the makim b'chatach ba'alma osur. We learned when we spoke about the sugyas of ben pekua, so we learned quite extensively that if the animal, the ben pekua that's in his mother's womb, the perek began stuck its hand out from the womb. So we learned that even if we'll say that the shechita of the mother will be effective for the baby, we learned that it won't be effective for the part, for the leg, the arm that it stuck out. And not only won't it be effective for the part that stuck out, but we actually learned that the place where that is connected, where the arm is connected to the ben pekua inside, even if we're going to be lenient on the ben pekua, we can't be lenient on the makom chatach, on the place where they were connected. We also learned the halachas of an Eiver HaMadodol, where there's a limb, an organ that is sticking out. That we also said that we can't be lenient with the Eiver HaMadodol, that the Eiver HaMadodol under circumstances may not be eaten, but we're learning that all over the halacha is the place where it's connected is also the two examples we just gave. For Hocha, by the Zroya B'Sheila, the halacha will be that even though, as we discussed in our previous year as well, the Zroya is disconnected from the rest of the carbon shlomim only after they're cooked together, and now we're disconnecting them, the Zroya being given to Kohanim, the rest of the carbon being given to the owner, the space, the spot where they were connected may be eaten by the owner. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Dimi become Lashmatza. Rav Dimi was sitting and learning this halacha. Amalei Abaya, v'kol yisurim shebetorah b'meya, is the halacha that by all yisurim, you're saying that the ratio is 100 to 1. Ask the Gemara v'atnan, there's a Mishnah Masechta Orla that says, Lama Amru kol mechametz Why did Chazal teach us that whenever we have a situation that we have an ingredient that, let's say you have a dough made out of chulin, and you put into it yeast of truma, or metabol, if you have a dish of regular chulin food that was spiced with truma spice, or medabma, or we just have a situation where the chulin and truma were mixed together. The halacha is lahachmar, the halacha that we always have to be machmar, when min v'minoy, when the two things that got mixed together are the same. And the Mishnah explains itself, that sometimes yesh lahakal, sometimes when we have this type of situation, we are machmer, and sometimes machmer, lahakal, sometimes we're makel, and sometimes we're machmer. And the Gemara explains, min v'sheinu minay, when the two foods that were mixed together, we are not the same, we're sometimes makel, and sometimes machmer. V'ktani sefer, and as we continue learning the sefer, that Mishnah, lahakal lahachmer, min v'sheinu minay, by a case where the two types of foods that got mixed together, sometimes were makel and sometimes were machmer. Ketzah, what does that mean? The Mishnah explains, Greason, if we have ground wheat, which are truma, shnesbashlu madoshim, they got cooked together with beans. Im yesh ben benois and tam, if the truma gives tam to the beans, ben yesh ben kedei lahalas b'mei v'echad, whether they have the proper ratio of 101 chulin versus the truma, bein ein behem lahalas b'mei echad, or they don't have the proper ratio, the halacha is that osur. In this case, we are machmer ein behem benois and tam. But if they don't give off tam, bein sheyesh behem kedei lahalas b'mei echad, bein ein behem lahalas b'mei echad, we're always mekel. So we see from here that the Chazal said that even though we know throughout Shir, throughout Halacha, that the Shir of Bittel by Truma is the ratio of 100 to 1, Rashi says the first part of this Brisa, of this Mishnah teaches us, that's only when there is no Tam. But if there is, that's only when there is no Tam. But if there's Tam being transferred, if there's time of the Truma and the Chulin, we can't be lenient. So now continues the Gemara. Ein bem lahalas b'mei v'echad. If there is no proper ratio, the halach is the Truma is bottle el b'mai. What? How much do you have to have? Lav b'shishim. Isn't the Braisa coming to teach us that 100 is not required, that 60 is satisfactory? And isn't the Braisa teaching, so we learn from here, that we do say the ratio of 60 to 1, says Loi. That's not the way to learn that Mishnah. The halacha by Truma always is that you have to have a ratio of 60 to 1. Says the Gemara, and the halacha is the teaching that if you have a ratio of 100, it's going to be enough because you don't have to have 101. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, The ratio, which spoke about a case of min b'minoy. And it's important to set forth here that the halacha is always stricter by min b'minoy versus by min b'sheinu minoy. The reason for that is because the min b'minoy, we have two things that are the same. And the way the Rishonim explain, when you have two minim that are the same, each strengthens the other. And since each strengthens the other, we have to be machmer. But says the Gemara, the ratio of the Mishnah, which spoke about mina b'minoi, and the ratio of that Mishnah said that you have to have a ratio of 100 to 1. Isn't that indicative, asked the Gemara, that the Seif is talking about shishim? And now Gemara Abai explains what he just meant to say. The Ktari ratio, the ratio of that Mishnah said, lahachma min v'minoi, that we're learning that by min v'minoi we're more machmer. Ketzah, what does that mean? If you have sor shel chitin, if you have yeast of wheat, yeast sourdough made out of truma wheat, shnafalisis chitin, that fell into another dough that is made out of, that fell into a dough made out of wheat, v'yesh boi kedei lechametz, and there's enough sourdough that can make this dough ferment. Ben yesh bekedalas labim mevechod, whether it has the shear of 100 to 1, or ben ein bekedala has mevechod, or doesn't have the shear usur, because we introduce now a new consideration, and that is that by that something which is choshev, something that plays a vital role, even if you have the right ratio, we're going to have to be machmer. And therefore, since the sourdough, the yeast, is made out of truma, and that's something that's significant, it causes the fermentation of the dough, then it doesn't become bottled. Anybody la hausman may vechod, if you don't have that ratio, so we learn from here that when you have a min v'minoy, or wheat, you have to have two conditions. One, it shouldn't be something that is significant, as we're going to be learning throughout our Masechta now. It's not a mils David l'tama. It's not something that gives taste. It's not something that's l'chametz, that it could ferment. We're going to learn about other situations where something is significant, and because it's significant, it's not bottled. And the second condition is that you have to have a ratio of 101 chulin versus the truma. And that means even if it doesn't give any taste, the halach is minimally, by truma dalachas, you have to have a ratio of 101 to 1. So that's dalacha of min b'minoi. Now we're going to say by min b'she'ena minoi, as we explained a moment ago, dalacha is more lenient than min b'she'ena minoi, and therefore you don't have to have 101. So Abai assumed that the Mishnah is teaching us that by min v'minoi, the number is 101. To one, and by the other one, by min v'minoy, it's 100 to 1. Says asked the Gemara. So if you're going to say that's also 100, and now the Gemara is assuming that the ratio and the sefer are both 100. So what's the difference? It must be that the ratio, the beginning of the Mishnah, which talks about min v'minoy, it has to have 100, and the sefer, which is min ve'ena minoy, is 60, says the Gemara, because the Gemara is now assuming that even in the ratio, the ratio is meya. And therefore, Abaya asks Rav Dimi, if you're trying to say that even by min ve'ena minoy, the number should not be 60, the number should be 100, so here the Mishnah is going to great lengths to differentiate between min v'minoi and min v'ena minoi. How is that differentiation demonstrated? Says the Gemara, but that's not the way to learn. Loi. The ratio is speaking where it's min v'minoi, says the Gemara, says that the ratio has to be me'ev echad, 101 to 1. And the sefer, where it's min b'she'ena minoi, there the ratio is me'ev. Ask the Gemara, v'chiyesh by k'day l'chametz, but now according to you, the ratio is speaking about a ratio of 101, and even though you're still saying that it may not become bottle, says the Gemara, v'chiyesh by k'deya l'chametz b'meya v'chad amayloi bottle. It says something that has such a significant ratio of 101 to 1, the Gemara finds difficult to accept will have the ability still to ferment. Says the Gemara, Ishtik. And now he remains silent. In other words, the question now is a practical question. The Gemara's question is that how do we say that when you have a ratio of 100 to 1, and especially as we've been learning, the concept why something which is kedei lechametz is not bottle is because it's a mils David l'tama. It's going to give taste. And the Gemara is saying that at that ratio, it's not going to give taste that it should not become bottle. So Ishtik, so Rav Dimi remained silent. He didn't have a good answer. Amalei, and Rabbi himself offered an answer. Rabbi said, Dilmashani saw the chemil tzukasha, that we're not talking about regular dough, we're talking about yeast. And yeast is different than anything else. And indeed, by yeast, the halacha will be that it, by yeast, the halacha will be that it doesn't, that it will, it can make it ferment even at such a very serious ratio. So we have another interesting machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos, that Rashi says, when according to Rashi, the 101 ratio is 101 heter versus iser. Tosfos holds that 101 means that you have a total of 101, and what he means to say with a total of 101 is that if you're going to have 100 chulin and one truma, that will be enough to say that it's bottle. The Gemara also has been teaching us that sar and isa are considered min b'minoi. Even though they're not the same, this is yeast and this is dough. Since they come both from wheat, they're considered min b'minoi. But when we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, in our shiurim, the halachas of min b'minoi, there are different definitions in the Rishonim given. What is the definition of min b'minoi? Some say it's based that they call the same name. Some say it's based on them having the same tam. And here, it's neither. This is called sour, and this is called isa. This is sourdough, this is yeast, and this is regular dough. And therefore, the question is quite obvious. How do we call them both? How do we call them min b'minoi? Says the Ramban, because if you will have yeast, and you'll leave the yeast out, if you'll have dough, I'm sorry, and you leave dough, the dough will be turned into yeast. So even though right now it's yeast, right now it's dough, since eventually it will become yeast, that's already enough to make it be called, according to everybody, min b'minoi. So says Rav Dimi Tabaya now. And the Gemara said, Shani Sar, the Chemutza Kasha, and that's why it's enough to be considered a mamid. And that is a new consideration that the Gemara introduces. Something which is a mamid, something that makes something else change and become something, is something a dovel hamaimid doesn't become bottle. Amalei, and now Rav Dimi said to Abaye, Tkarta Milskun, now you remind me something that Amar Rav Yosef ben Chanina, that Rav Yosef ben Chanina taught us, and he taught us that Lo Kol Shiurim Shovim, that not all foods have the same sheer bittel, have the same shear of nois and tam. Shreit seer, the sauce that comes out of non-kosher fish. Shiuroi, krovel amasayim. Since it has a very strong taste, in order to mevatel that taste, you have to have a ratio of 200 to 1. Where do we see that? The Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Trumas teaches us, dag tamei tzira asur. The fish sauce of a non-kosher fish is asur. And Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a revius b'masayim. If you have a revius of dag tamei fish sauce that got mixed up in two saw of kosher fish sauce, then it's bottle. The locha, if you look at this, a susayim has 200 revius, and we see from here that the halacha is that the shear of different foods is different. And therefore, if that's the case, that's why we can't say the same rule. Ask the Gemara, but how could you say that that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds? Vav Rabbi Yehuda, isn't Rabbi Yehuda the man d'amid that says, Memin b'mina le'batel? As we said, Rabbi Yehuda, and we learned about this in our previous year, based on the psukim by the Kabbonis, the Gemara Masech, the Yuma, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the dam par and the dam soyer, even though they're different and there's much more par blood than sar blood, but since they're all blood, it's something that's never bottled. So how are we saying that the tzir of the non-kosher fish gets mixed up with the tzir of a kosher fish? It's going to be bottled. Yes, we need a very significant ratio, a 200-to-1 ratio, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the halacha min b'minoi, it shouldn't be bottled at all. Answers, the Gemara, Shani Tzir de Zeba Almahu. Tzir is not the actual non-kosher fish. It's just some secretion that exits that fish, And therefore, the halacha looks at it as zeya ba'alma. And since it's only zeya ba'alma, therefore, it's only osam midrabbanan. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who we just explained, takes a very strict approach to min b'minay. That's only when we're dealing with an issa d'raisa. Here, we're dealing in issa d'rabbanan. But Tosfos points out, Machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos says that this kula that the Gemara now presented us, that the tzir of dag is only osam midrabbanan, is only by fish. But by the tzir of other things that are now kosher, Tosfos says that it's also midaraisa. The Ramban says that even tzir of a fish in our Gemara is osa medaraisa. However, there's a special chiddush, says the Ramban. The Ramban has a very interesting approach to this Gemara. The Ramban's approach is that, yes, tzir is osa medaraisa, but since it's a chiddush, that something which, as the Gemara just described, is only zeya ba'alma, is osa medaraisa, so the chiddush is a limited chiddush. And the limited chiddush is that even though normally min b'minoy is not bottle, here the halacha will be different, and the halacha will be that even though it's min b'minoy, the halacha is that it's going to be a bottle. The Gemara before told us that the Mishnah told us ketzer mashirin when we have the gid anosha in the yarech, in the thigh, and we want to see if it's going to become bottle or not. So we look at it as if there's a mixture of meat and turnips. Our Rav Huna, to which Rav Huna says, what does that mean? Kibasa barashi liftus. The liftus, the turnip has leaves, and when we speak about the liftus, we're speaking about the leaf of the liftus. Says the Gemara Masnisin Dloy Kaitana. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not consistent with the following Tana. The Tanya of Shmo Benoy Shab Yachim Abreik Aymer. Ain't beginning as nice and tam. The gid doesn't give any tam. And therefore, according to his opinion, all that would be necessary would be to remove the gid. And once we remove the gid, that we don't have any other concern. So this Gemara, which we've quoted previously in our shiurim, of ain't beginning but nice and tam, and we're learning it's a machlokes, that the Rabbi Shmuel, B'nai Shab Yechav Abreka, says, Ein Begidin Nais and Tam, and other Tanoim disagree. So how could that be a machlokes? Ask many Rishonim. It's a machlokes on a Metzius. It's a machlokes, does it have taste or not? And really, as we discussed in previous Shurim, as we learned this Perek, we should just give it to an expert to taste and ask, does it have taste or doesn't have taste? So the Rashba gives a number, two terutzim. One terutz, he says, it goes back to Gemara that we learned on that Tzadik Beis on the Beis regarding the kankanus, the branches of the nerve endings, the veins that branch off the Giranosha. That we had a machloikis, what will be the halacha about the kanoikis? Some say that the iser is that on the git itself, and some say that the Isser is only on, includes the Knoikness. Says the Rashba, that everybody agrees that the Gid, Ein Begidim Benoysa Tam, that the Gid has no Tam. Similarly, says the Rashba, everybody agrees that the Knoikness do have Tam. And the Machloikis here is very simple. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Knoikness are not awesome or derisive. And therefore, we don't really have to take them into consideration, we only have to look at the gid. The other mandama says that not only is the gid osam deraisa, but the knoikness are also osam deraisa. If the knoikness are also osam deraisa, we have to take them into consideration. Another explanation that the Rashba suggests is that when we speak about the gidin, nois and tam, is it gives a very bland taste. And the machloikas tanoim, and everybody agrees that that is the taste you will feel when you eat the gid. The machloikas is that taste considered halachically, is that considered a taste according to the halacha? As we, the halacha actually is like Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, meat that was cooked together with a gid, as long as you remove the gid, the halacha is that the is mut, because ain't begidin nice and tam. However, as we've been discussing now, Shir, if it isn't just that I have a gid in this pot, the gid was cut up into the dish, and therefore cannot be removed, says the Shulchan Aruch that here we'll have to have bittul b'shishim. Says the Pri Chodesh, even though, as we've been learning so very extensively, that when Isser gets mixed into Heter, you have to have bittul b'shishim, says the Pri Chodesh, that's only by foods that have taste. But if now, says the Pri Chodesh, we've established that ain't begidin b'nois and tam. So if ain't begidin b'nois and tam, the halacha is that here we can rely on the din of the Raisa and paskin that bittul b'roiv is enough. Bittul b'roiv is enough. We won't need to have shishim. The Tshuvas Mishpatim Yisharim also indicates that if somebody cooked gid anosha in a pot, so we know that if something non-kosher was cooked in a pot, the halacha requires that that pot be kashered. But since the halacha is that ain begidin b'noisim tam, so therefore, it didn't impart any tam into the pot, and there won't be a requirement to kasher the pot. Says the Marhud Asla Kamei to Rav Chanina. Have Yosef Rav Yehuda Bezvina Ababa. Somebody came to Rav Chanina to ask him this very question. Where Gid Anosha got mixed up with other food. And says the Gemara, have Rav Yehuda Bezvina Ababa. Rav Yehuda Bezvina was sitting at the entrance to the home of Rav Chanina. Kinofak, when this person left the home of Rav Chanina, after he asked the question, Amalei, he asked him, my Amalach, how did Rav Chanina paskin when the Shiloh and Gid Anosha got mixed into other food? Amalei, and he responded, Shari Ninilei, he said it's fine. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda Bezvina told this person, Hada Ailel Kamei, go again and ask this question. Maybe he didn't understand your question properly, and that's why he was lenient. So he went back in, and he asked this question the second time. Amma, Sir Rav Chanina's reaction was, Man hai de komatsali, who's this person that's making you ask the question and bothering me to ask the same question a second time? And he understood right away that it must be Rabbi Yehuda Bezvina who's sitting at the entrance. So he told this person who's asking the question, Zil Emelei Lamanda Yosef Ababa, go tell the person who's sitting at the door, Emegidim B'naisim Tam, and therefore, if we could get the Gid out, there's no room for being strict, for stringency. Says the Gemara, Kiyosel Kamedra Vami, when somebody would ask this question about the Gid getting mixed into other food, Shadal El Kamedra Yitzchak Ben Khaluf, he wasn't ready to be makel, so therefore he didn't want to be lenient, but he knew Rav Yitzchak ben Chaluf is lenient, the Maribay Latera, Mishum Rav Shuva Levi. However, he personally, Lois Firle, he didn't want to tell him that you could be lenient, because he wasn't ready to say that Ein Begidin Nasan Tam. But Paskins, the Gemara, that the Halacha actually is Ein Begidin Nasan Tam, there is no concern of Nasan Tam by Gidin. So here, the Gemara is discussing where somebody was asked a question, given an answer, and then was asked the question again. So the question is, why was that done? And Tosis explains that under normal circumstances, we have no reason to believe that somebody is going to change his psak. But this case, as the Gemara makes very clear, was not your regular case. Because in this case, he understood that Yehuda Bezvina was questioning his psak. And when somebody questions your psak, so now it's a whole different situation. And now we do have a concern that if I'm alerted that maybe I didn't give the right psak, I will change my mind. There's a very big controversy about a tshuva that was issued by the Noda B'Yehuda about a species of fish if it's kosher or not. And the Sefer, and the son of the Noida Behuda, there were those that wanted to suggest that the Noida Behuda retracted. The Chazon Ish discusses this, and other Paiskim discusses it. And the son of the Noida Behuda said, we don't have any proof that our father retracted, and that's why we don't assume that he retracted. And that's the Shaar Metzion Balacha says, based on this, that if we have a psak from a Talmud Chacham, even if there's an Eid Echad that said that this Talmud Chacham retracted, there's a chazaka that a Talmud Chacham doesn't retract from his psak unless we have very clear evidence that he did so. Otherwise, we assume that the psak that was offered is the psak that we should follow.